Hello and welcome to Strange Stuff. My name is Andy.
And I'm Mark. Hi there, Andy. Yes, I've finished my work, so I thought I would let you have Sunday off.
Yeah,
that's you look a bit shocked.
No, I'm in the process of trying to share my Instagram thing to Facebook.
Why?
Why? Because when I posted it this morning, it's supposed to share automatically to my Facebook page, but it didn't.
All right. Maybe you've done something. Maybe you've been blocked or banned by somebody. Understandably so.
Possibly.
Who would have thought it?
100 episodes.
I got a call from Phil out of the blue the other day during the week, literally just for a chat. And he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I suspect he called me just so he got a mention in this week's 100th episode. Well done, Phil, our favourite fan. All is well with him.
I haven't spoken to him for, must be a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Your old flatmate, your old buddy, best buddy.
Long before I moved up here.
Yeah. So did you do anything for Christa Himmelsdag, Ascension Day?
I actually did. I went to Ikemaxi.
Right.
I actually went into town as well.
Yes.
I needed to go to Shell and Company.
Did you? What did you buy at Shell and Company? A component?
Oh, I bought a cable and a little Bluetooth transmitter. I ordered a Bluetooth transmitter on the interwebs.
Yes.
From Amazon. And I got a notification from Bring that it was delivered on Wednesday, and it fucking was not.
So it was delivered to one of the other buildings in your little hamlet.
It's not even possible to deliver to the wrong address. My house has a massive number on the front of it that you can see from the road. I've got a post box. If you miss the house, and my nearest neighbour is hundreds of metres away.
I'll tell you why. It's because they can't be shagged to drive 50 kilometres into the middle of a forest just to make one delivery that they get paid £2 for.
Well, give me my fucking money back. Don't tell me it's delivered, you slags.
Slags. That's a word from the past.
Yep.
Probably a word you were quite familiar with when you... Yeah,
I was very familiar. I was almost engaged to some of them.
So I was focusing on the finishing school crowd and you were focusing on the schlags.
My favourite hunting ground in... Well,
actually, that is a terrible word when you think about it. It really is. For 2023, that is pretty misogynistic. I don't know if it is misogynistic. Slag, it's a bit, yeah, that is a bit bad.
No, I think it's a sort of backhanded compliment, isn't it?
I don't think so, Andy, no. How would you like being called a slag?
Slag.
I wonder why it's got East End connotations. Is that where it started, do you think?
No, because slag, I mean, by its pure definition, is the leavings of a coal mine, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a slag heap.
Yeah. Anyway, we should apologise to any sensitive lady listeners.
Slag heap.
Rightly so. And I think we do need to be, what do you say, brought in line, educated.
Fuck off.
You do, especially.
As I was saying, slag heap, otherwise known as orgy.
What brought us on to that?
Oh, I don't know. But whatever it was, it was a happy accident.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 100 episodes. Can you imagine when we started that we would get this far? I mean, after 100 episodes, how has your life changed in these couple of years?
How has my life changed? You mean this has enriched it in some way? I think not. I'm just thinking that's probably 150 hours of my life that I've lost forever, never to be returned.
Oh, I mean, my life is much
seven
the same.
7 days.
My life is much the same. The only thing that's different now is the crowds of people outside my house waving placards.
What do you mean your life has been transformed? I mean, you have a life now, whereas before you didn't really.
No, but I mean, in regards to the podcast.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it's been, I won't say it's been a journey because that's naff, but it's definitely been an experience.
Do you remember what the first episode was? Was it the bloke who sold London Bridge to somebody?
Exactly.
That was literally the first episode, was it?
Yep. His name was Arthur Wilson, I think.
No, it wasn't Arthur Wilson.
It was Arthur something.
Yeah, it could have been. Then we had that, I remember quite early on, we had that episode where that bloke who was, I think he was a doctor, he kept a mummified girlfriend.
Oh, no, we never actually published that episode.
Yes, we did.
No, we recorded it a couple of times and I was never happy with it.
What?
Yeah, we might have to come back to that. So don't go any further, no spoilers.
What are you talking about? Isn't that the one you forgot to press the record button?
No, I wasn't happy with the way it turned out, so I never published it.
No, thanks for telling me. How many other episodes have we recorded that you haven't published?
If you'd listened to your own work, you'd fucking know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I can't go through every episode. I mean, I do listen to them occasionally, but I don't listen to every episode, especially the crap ones.
That doesn't really leave much.
No, some of them were remarkably good.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I know you like
Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
I knew you were going to say Jeff the Talking Ferret.
Mongoose.
I mean, that's just the sort of pure old nonsense that appeals to your age band.
No, but it was. I mean, it was sort of, it was just, there wasn't any nastiness in it. It wasn't some horror story. It was just a bloody funny, stupid nonsense.
Yeah, I bet you were glued to the TV when Rainbow was on in the olden days.
What's Rainbow?
Oh, come on.
What's Rainbow?
Jeffrey? Hello, Bungle. No. Are you playing with Jeffrey's balls?
What are you talking about?
Have you never seen Rainbow?
It was probably on ITV.
Of course, you're only BBC boy.
Was it on ITV?
You're a Jack and Ori child.
I used to watch an ITV programme when I was young. I used to watch Magpie.
Oh, that was a bit forward thinking for you, wasn't it, with the hippie?
Yeah. It was as a contrast to Valerie Singleton.
Ah, oh, Valerie.
And Blue Peter. Rubber Johnny Noakes. Peter Pervert.
Shep, get down, Shep.
Oh, Shep, that poor dog. He popped his clogs, didn't he, that poor thing? He got buried in the Blue Peter garden.
I think there's more than just Shep buried in that garden.
I think that programme is still going, do you know?
It still is, as far as I know. It's got a viewership now of like 14.
14 what?
14 people.
Oh, I see. Like our podcast.
Well, slightly more popular than us.
Oh, dear. I used to religiously watch that, come home from school, and instead of doing homework, watch an episode of Blue Peter.
Yeah, I think that was every schoolboy's go-to.
Well, every schoolgirl as well.
Yeah, it was unisex.
And they used to have some quite, this is definitely naughty for 2023, they used to have some quite hot presenters. In fact, I think the woman that came after Valerie Singleton, she was some young thing.
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, a blonde girl.
I mean, Valerie Singleton, even though she was a more mature woman, I think she was probably 30.
Yeah, but when you're nine,
it's still fucking got me rocks off.
God. I think Valerie Singleton's a lesbian, actually, or was. I think she died.
She was in a relationship with Joan Armour Trading, apparently, for many years.
Joan Armour Trading, the singer?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I have this on very good authority.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Joan Armour Trading. I've still got a couple of her albums on CD.
So did Valerie Singleton.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so it's been a bit... Yeah, you're right. It has been 100 episodes, 7 days of my life lost to Strange Stuff Podcast.
Well, when you say lost, it's enriched your life, really. I mean, think of all the extra stuff you've learned.
True. Hollow Earth.
The broadened vocabulary.
Occasionally.
Malaxing.
Yes, the most recent word that doesn't exist. You'll have to write to that... girl on Countdown, the lexitographer, Judy Dent. What's her name?
It's not Judy Dent, is it? It's I'm not allowed to write to her anyway. I've been stopped by the police.
Susie Dent.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm sure the is that a lexitographer? Oh. Someone whose words?
Oh, I'm thinking of the chick who puts the numbers on the board on Countdown.
Oh, no. That's something completely...
Oh, she's definitely serious.
Rachel.
Rachel, get your pants off.
Oh, she's happily married with children.
That's never stopped a woman.
Well, it has. Thing for... Who's that short, bald comedian with Andy. Sort of long... Huh?
Andy.
No.
Me.
With long hair at the back.
Oh, okay.
He's got long hair at the back. He plays loads of instruments and he's a comedian. He's a popular game show contestant.
No idea.
Anthony Worrell Thompson, no. He's not an attractive fellow, but Rachel had a thing for him.
Isn't he a chef?
Yeah, you're right. That's not the right one.
Isn't he one of your lot as well? Anthony Worrell Thompson.
I'm going to just prove to you that this... How do you spell Susie?
S-U-Z-I?
No.
Or S-U-S-I-E?
S-U-S-I-E. Susie Dent.
Not Arthur Dent.
Yes, I'm right. Her name is Susie Dent. Is an English
lexicographer.
Lexicographer. Does the dictionary corner on Channel 4 game show Countdown.
Or Andy, who is an English pornographer.
Has anybody ever invited... Have you ever been... I was just about to say, what's an extra in a porn movie called?
A stunt cock.
Were you the cock double?
I've been a stunt cock in a porno.
In fact, I heard a stupid, mildly offensive, but probably acceptably offensive. What do you call a gingerhead person in a porn movie?
Go on.
The cameraman.
Oh, your first round of applause.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first joke. It's not mine. I got it off the internet, but I thought it was quite amusing.
It's actually not bad. Actually not bad. It's... Talking of sex, though, do you remember your first time?
Talking of what?
Sex.
No, it was...
Do you remember your first time?
It was 43 years ago. How can I... Of course, you're not the sort of thing you forget. Oh, I don't know, actually.
Do you remember how much it cost?
Yes, I do. It wasn't cheap, I can tell you. Oh, dear.
I'll never forget my first time. She was quite noisy.
Oh, dear.
Bit of a screamer.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Trying to escape.
I'm not sure if it was because she was enjoying herself so much or the balaclava and knife were throwing her off.
Exactly. I knew that was coming, unlike her. Oh dear. No, it's sometimes a little bit fun to reminisce. I mean, obviously one should look to the future, or more importantly the present, but it is fun to reminisce sometimes. And I wonder, when you think about it, if how old were your parents when they popped their clogs? They were in their 80s, weren't they?
Are you kidding me? My dad was probably 63 or something. Oh, God.
What?
My mum, she was 74, I think.
Oh, really? Quite young.
Yeah, well, my dad died as a result of a car crash.
Oh,
or injuries he received from a car crash. He survived.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
He survived for 5 years, but he was not the same man.
No. No, I was going to say that my parents, and in fact nearly all of my grandparents, lived until their 90s. So I've got 30 more years. So in 30 years, well, assuming I survive that long, but I might have 30 years. And just think, in 30 years' time, I'll be able to listen to our podcast on Spotify. Reminisce.
Will you, though? Because someone has to keep paying to keep them up there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, they're not hosted for free.
On Spotify, you have to pay them, do you?
Not, I don't pay Spotify, but I mean, the reason you send me money every month is to split the costs of our hosting our podcasts and our website and all the rest of it. If we stop producing more,
if we decide to kick the bucket, is that pull the plug
if we decide,
on 100, do they disappear from Spotify if we don't keep paying?
Yes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But I mean, what happens is the amount of money we pay now, which isn't a massive amount of money every month, but you can reduce that money just to host what's there and not produce any more.
All right.
But I pay for, I think, 6 hours of recording a month to be uploaded.
All right.
Which is about what we do.
And can you pay so that it's there ad infinitum?
No, you have to pay on the annual or monthly basis.
All right.
I mean, I suppose you could, I don't know, maybe you could pay for 10 years in advance just for making sure it's up there for 10 years.
All we need is one celebrity endorsement.
What do you mean? We've had it.
What celebrity? Who's been celebritizing our podcast?
We've had Matthias the German.
Yeah, not really this. Oh, I'll tell you what, funnily enough, talking about Matthias, Alex, Phil's missus,
she remembers
that as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I remember it.
Do you?
Yeah, it made the news in the UK.
Mm.
I mean, when someone starts frying penises, it is world news.
Frying? Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he? Oh, God. Hopefully we're not going to have anything like that. Well, what are we going to do for 100? Is this just reminiscing, or have you actually got your head out of the sand and done some research?
Oh, well, in fact, I have done some research. It might be a little bit gargled and convoluted and...
Oh, I thought we were going to do a good one, not one of these random access chronologically...
We are doing a good one, but there's a lot of info, and I've got 9 tabs open. So what? I've got to flick backwards and forwards. There's a lot of stuff. And you'll understand why when I tell you what the subject is. But first, you know what I need to do? I need to get a glass of wine.
Because you can't. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's our fucking 100th episode, and I am going to celebrate.
Well, I've got to go driving. I'm going to get myself a drink in that case.
Yep, do that. So we're celebrating our 100th, so I thought I'd just have one glass of wine. I won't go nuts. It'll be just the pint.
That is ridiculous. You can't. I hope to God you don't drink that while we're recording.
That's not the glass you think it is.
It is.
It doesn't hold 70 centimetres.
It's about 35, though, isn't it?
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. It's a good half bottle. Ronnie's come to join us for this podcast.
Yeah, so well, make sure Ronnie he doesn't press any buttons.
He's a good boy. Yeah, I just want to clarify as well that story about losing my virginity with a ski mask and a knife. That was obviously a joke.
Yeah, but it's not funny for most people, though, Andy.
Well, not when it happens, no. But I actually lost my virginity in Pentonville Prison.
Have you ever been to prison? I think I've asked you before. You have spent the night in a cell, haven't you?
Oh, more than one night. But I've never actually been to prison. They've never made it stick.
So was that in England that you spent the night in a cell?
I've done England. I've done Greece. I've done Sweden. And There's one more. Where was the other one?
How do they compare? You've got to say Swedish has got to rate as the best.
How would you? No, it was fucking awful. I mean, it was an unfortunate mistaken identity case.
Yeah.
No, what it was Wild of Arcelot was on 1 year, and I was drinking with Drunk Krilla and a few other guys, and there was a lot of Hembrent involved, and it was early afternoon. It was a long day. We were wasted as hell by the time we got to the beer tent. One of the guys went off to the bar, one of the guys went off to the toilet, I went off to get a table, took my jacket off, draped it over the back of a chair and promptly fell asleep at the table. And when I woke up, I was in this fucking iron room.
What?
Yeah, they'd basically lifted me out and thrown me in the back of a police wagon and carted me off to the station. And I woke up in this police cell absolutely terrified that I didn't know why I was there or what I might have done. I had no fucking idea.
No, and knowing you, it could have been anything.
It could have been anything, yeah. And that, I mean, they left me there stewing in my own juices for a couple of hours, and eventually a guy come down, opened the door, said, "You okay now?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Okay, come on, outside." So went upstairs and gave me all my things back, and he gave me a jacket, and I said, "That's not my jacket."
What?
It wasn't my jacket. I went out in my flying jacket, the big sheepskin motherfucker, and they'd picked up some trashy little winter jacket that wasn't mine to send me home or to take me to the police station in. Anyway, 2 o'clock in the morning this was, thank you very much. They just turfed me out on the streets.
Well, you didn't have far to... Oh, where did you have to go?
Well, I went from the police station to Klokkerhagen. It was quite a walk at minus 15, I guess.
Nice.
Thanks, police, you fucking fascist bastards.
Well, not really, but yeah. Did you get your own cell?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, even though it's Sweden, they don't do mixed cells for some reason. That would have been much more pleasant.
I'm not talking about mixed cell. I'm talking about a crowd of men in the same cell.
Oh, good God, no. But I'm surprised because I would imagine that during Varsalop,
they must have picked up quite a few people.
Quite a few of us.
Yeah.
Unconscious drunks.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
And, you know, just to clarify that most of my experiences with police cells have involved alcohol. I've never actually been nicked for breaking and entering or assault or anything like that.
Good.
They've never caught me.
Right, come on then. If you've got all the 9 bloody pages up, we better get moving. It's already 25 minutes in.
Are we? Isn't that fabulous? Well,
this better be good.
I'm going to apologise in advance to American listeners.
Well, it's sounding a bit promising.
No, I'm apologising by way of this podcast because we tend, or you especially, tend to
That's
mock
not
them
true.
At every opportunity. But a lot of our stuff happens in America. We can't help that. So today, in revenge, this is purely homegrown humbuggery.
From Sweden?
From the UK.
Oh, right.
Because today we are talking about our very own son of God, David Icke.
He is the son of... Yo, that's a good one. Have we not done him before?
No, we haven't.
I mean, that is an incredible story. Even I remember David Icke.
Well, you should, because he was of our time. In fact, he was exactly of our time.
What? No, he's older than us.
He's older, but I mean, he was part of our youth and growing up. He was
that's all right. So fill me in. You prompted my memory, jogged my memory. So go on. So he was, the early days.
He was born 29th of April in 1952.
So he's 10 years older than me or 11 years older than me. 9 years.
He's a former footballer. He was a professional goalkeeper before he was forced to retire early due to crippling arthritis.
He was quite a good goalkeeper.
He was. He played for Hereford and I think he played for Leicester. I can't remember.
Oh, so not that good.
Well, I mean, he was professional, so he was better than you. He became then a very well-known sports broadcaster. He was on Match of the Day and all sorts of other sports programs, and he was very, very well-known. He's written...
He was like Frank Boff.
He was, except not the paedophile bit.
What?
Frank Boff. He was sacked for giving swimming lessons to young girls in a public swimming pool.
No.
Oh, no. Frank Boff was the cocaine and strippers, wasn't he?
What is it with these people? Anybody who's on TV suddenly falls off a cliff in terms of moral values.
Yeah, I apologise, Frank. You weren't the paedophile. I'm thinking of Len Fairclough from Coronation Street.
Oh, God. Anyway, David Icke, I remember, he was like your football... He was like the Gary Lineker of 1970.
Kind of, except not quite so well paid.
No, and he's not as good as Gary Lineker. He's not. He wasn't as famous as Gary Lineker.
No. Well, no goalkeeper is, unless you're Schmeichel.
Why, is he a famous goalkeeper?
Yeah. Or Grobler. Bruce Grobler is probably the most famous goalkeeper, played for Liverpool, and also various mafia betting conspiracies.
Ah.
People thought he was mad because he would come out of his goal and run towards the player with the ball and tackle them rather than defend his goal. And when he was successful, he was lauded as a genius and a hero. And people would say he's the best goalkeeper in the world. But what he was actually doing was giving them an open goal so that they could score and enrich his betting friends and also validate his payoffs that he was getting.
No,
He was convicted of it.
Really?
Yes. He was deliberately throwing games. He went from hero to zero at Liverpool pretty damn quick.
And was he chucked out of the Football League?
I can't remember the punishments, but I would imagine that he had his goalkeeper's license revoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, in 1990... after him retiring from football and becoming disillusioned with his broadcasting career, which he felt was just paying lip service to a dying game, he visited a psychic who told him that he was on Earth for a purpose and mm-hmm. he would receive messages from the spirit world.
And this was that's what started it all.
Yeah, this was about the time... Well, what started it all was... He appeared on the BBC show Wogan.
Terry Wogan, one of the most popular chat show hosts of all time.
And probably one of the best radio presenters of all time.
And the best Eurovision Song Contest presenter.
Do you know what? If he was still doing that, I would still watch it.
Yeah.
Just for Terry Wogan's nonsense and his wit.
Though that, the new bloke who's got that chat show, he's also very good.
Graham Norton.
I like Graham Norton.
Well, I mean, I don't watch it, but I did read in the newspaper that Graham Norton, although he was still involved, the BBC, for some reason, have got a plethora of non-entities also co-hosting. Names yeah. I'd never, ever heard.
No.
And apparently... Graham Norton's only got a little bit now. The half-time, I'm doing my bunny ears, entertainment was all about these other nobodies who really are not entertainers or presenters, apparently, according to the critics of the newspapers.
Anyway, back to David Icke, only because I've just remembered it wasn't only the Son of God that he was on about. No. I won't spoil it, but I've just realised what that fellow was on.
This is why I've got 9 tabs open. Yeah, so on the Wogan show, while he turned up, I believe, in a purple tracksuit for some reason.
That's it. I remember that, purple tracksuit.
He started only wearing purple. He claimed the colour. And he told Wogan that he was the son of the Godhead. And that the world would soon be devastated by tidal waves and earthquakes. And this appearance led to sort of public ridicule. And over the next 11 years, he wrote over 20 books, self-published. Now, since then, he's spoken in more than 25 countries. And you'll be amazed to find out that he speaks for 9 hours.
What?
In sold-out venues. And he basically it's a cross between a sort of revivalist meeting, a lecture, and a rock concert. His 9-hour episodes, but he is amazingly popular, and his books have sold in the millions.
Really?
Yeah, he's very, very popular.
No, he's a lunatic.
He's not a lunatic, and in fact, we're going to come to why he's not a lunatic.
You mean because he's made so much money?
Well, no, because he's made some very, very accurate predictions that we've seen come true.
I think not.
Yeah, we'll see. Get your nonsense ready.
Go on then. So he's the son of the head god.
The godhead.
Godhead.
Not the head god. The head god is obviously my father. The earth is also controlled by reptilian shapeshifters.
That's the one.
And since then, he's been derided and shunned by many in TV. But Ike could be forgiven for having the last laugh. He's since become one of the world's most famous conspiracy researchers and one of Britain's most sought-after public speakers. His books and DVDs sell worldwide to an international fan base. And it's probably not his latest book, but his latest book, according to my research, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, was on the bestseller list. We can't say...
Now, you're going into this reptilian thing, aren't you? Because you glanced over that.
Well, there's so much. You'll just have to be patient. We can't say yet that the Earth is really controlled by a secret lizard army, but some of his other insane predictions are gathering mainstream support and could, in fact, be correct. Number one, we are all living in a simulation. Now, Ike was understandably ridiculed for suggesting that the world as we know it is actually just a holographic simulation created by so-called archontic reptilians and broadcast into our minds from the moon and Saturn. Now, on the surface, this wild conspiracy might sound absurd.
No.
But the latest scientific theories actually support the idea that actually we do live in a simulated holographic universe.
For the latest scientific research. Yeah, I mean, you predicted this was going to be a nonsense episode. I'd like to meet some of these scientists.
Now, well, you can ask your son, because he probably knows this one. NASA scientist Rich Terrile said recently that he believes the universe is a digital holographic simulation, which, by definition, must have been created by some form of intelligence. And this is precisely what Ike said in his books many years ago.
Do I need to point out that you can't touch a hologram?
But what if we are also holograms?
What are you talking about?
Well,
I've touched you, haven't I? Good Slapped God. Your head.
If you had touched me, I would have reported you to the police, you perv. Leave me alone.
It's ludicrous. It's nonsense, obviously, because you can't touch a hologram.
We've had a nonsense.
I'm touching this table, so it can't be a hologram.
Look, it's not a hologram as we know it. Perhaps we haven't got a word for the kind of hologram that you can touch.
Oh, you mean a hologram with actual mass is what you're talking about? Yeah. In other words, real stuff.
Simulated, generated mass.
It's not simulated. It exists. I can touch it. I'm looking at it. I can smell it. It's a table. You're drinking a glass of wine.
Look, I also can touch my simulated girlfriend when I blow her up. In fact, I used to go out with a rubber doll, but she dumped me because I kept letting her down.
Oh, that is so weak. All right. So anyway, so that is one of his predictions, that we all live in a virtual.
Well, hang on. I'm not finished. In January of this year, boffins from the University of Southampton announced their findings from a study into the cosmic microwave background, CMB, left over from the Big Bang. And thanks to recent advances in telescopes and sensing equipment, the scientists were able to detect a vast amount of data hidden in the white noise left over from the creation of the universe. And this data suggests that, just like a hologram, everything we see and experience, including time, may actually be projected from a flat 2D surface. In other words, everything you see and experience in three dimensions may actually be, as Ike has said, a complete illusion.
This was someone from the University Kindergarten of Southampton.
See, now you always say to me, show me the science, and I've shown you the science, and you're still rebuking it.
Well, it's palpably absurd. They're obviously what's happened is they've said that this is theoretically possible to do.
Your opinion doesn't count. You're just a hologram.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So you don't like that one?
Well, it's
I haven't converted you to Ikeism.
No, I mean, that would be a result. Can you imagine by the end of a 40-minute podcast that I'm get converted and start wearing purple tracksuits?
I would love to see you in purple tracksuits. I'm sure that's your colour.
Yeah.
Handing out pamphlets at Mora Airport.
All right, so that's number one, supported by NASA, according to you, and Southampton University.
Yes.
Well, who can argue with that?
Okay, how about this one? 2 years before the atrocities of 9/11, Ike chillingly predicted that between 2000 and 2002, the USA will suffer a major terrorist attack on a large city.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you agree with Ike's research, as was outlined in his controversial 2002 book, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, his graphic prophecy was eerily correct. Now, I mean, it's not easy to predict anything like that. I predicted the Queen's death for 10 years running.
Yeah, but you see, with all of these things, he probably talks bollocks since whenever it was, 1972 or 82 or something. And so at some stage, something that he says is going to actually come true. It's the classic, a stop clock is right twice a day.
But he gave a two-year window, and he was correct.
Yeah, but he probably gave 100 other predictions with two-year windows that didn't come true.
There are none so blind as those that will not see.
Oh, my God, don't start quoting the Bible to me.
That's not the Bible. That was that came out of my fortune cookie from my chinky takeaway last night.
Also a bit racist, thank you. So we've covered misogyny and racism so far today. Let's see how many boxes we can tick. He predicted 9/11.
Yes,
he did. Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, he did. That's a fact. You can't argue with it.
Well, where did he predict it, as a matter of interest? In what way? How did he transmit this prediction?
He phoned me up. I think it was...
Was it in a book?
No, he phoned me up. It was in one of his books. Don't ask me which one, because he's written over 20.
Well, I thought you've read... How many have you read to make this production?
In their entirety...
Yes, from the start to the end.
Anyway, let's move on.
So, clearly.
Ike has also long argued that artificial intelligence will spell disaster for mankind and that the Matrix and Terminator movies are basically a taste of what's to come if we continue to allow machines to think for us.
What do you mean they were good movies?
Until recently, Ike's apocalyptic fears were widely derided. He was mocked publicly, suggesting that technology would ultimately kill us all off. But his warnings are now being taken seriously. Even Professor Stephen Hawking, the physicist, issued his own warning about the development of artificial intelligence. Speaking at the Web Summit Technology Conference in Lisbon, Portugal, Professor Hawking said that AI, I won't do his voice, AI, could be the worst event in the history of our civilization. He added that it brings dangers like powerful autonomous weapons or new ways for the few to oppress the many.
Yeah, but again, it's not Stephen Hawking agreeing with David Icke.
He mentioned David Icke while he made that speech.
What?
Or he was calling the bloke next to him a wanker. It was one of those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, loads of people. Wanker. Elon Musk was out the other day.
You wanker.
It's quite good, actually. Yeah. It's better than a Cornish pirate. There are loads of people coming out, you know, maybe justifiably so. Elon Musk was talking about it only this week, the dangers of AI.
Well, I mean, you can see the dangers of AI when you look at your phone and suddenly you realise it's been listening to you and now targeting adverts for ball gags and handcuffs, which happened to me just this morning.
Is that what you get prompted with?
No, obviously not. Remember, we're light entertainment.
What a ball game. Like those orange ping pong balls with sort of a belt attached to them.
Yeah, you know, like what you keep in your garage.
What point would there be to have one in the garage?
Well, that's where you keep your slaves, isn't it? That's where I keep mine.
That's where I keep my tools.
That's what I said. Ike sensationally claimed that former Prime Minister Sir Edward Heath was not only a paedophile, but also a Satanist in his 1998 book, The Biggest Secret. 10 years after Sir Edward's death in 2005, Wiltshire Police launched an investigation called Operation Conifer in response to sexual allegations against him. The constabulary concluded that they would have had to interview Heath under caution if he had still been alive, although no corroborating evidence was disclosed. Now, despite the severity of these accusations, Heath never took any legal action against Ike, which Ike says is telling in itself, especially given that he was well aware of the book and of Ike's allegations. It's not the only time that Ike claims to have exposed Sir Edward. More than 20 years previously, Ike accused Sir Edward of lying to the public about the consequences of the UK's entry into the European Union under his premiership, and government documents from that time that have only now been declassified and released warn that entry into the EU would definitely lead to a loss of British sovereignty, and that suggests that Ike may have once again been perfectly correct.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, criticising politicians, I mean, you got a middle-aged, white, overweight bloke. What are the chances that he's been dabbling a bit naughty? I mean, there's probability. A politician, sorry. Well, I forgot to add the politician
bit. I think we can say, without fear of being contradicted or sued, that all politicians are paedophiles.
I hope that fines for that sort of thing are associated with the level of income that one derives from the podcast, and then we're reasonably safe. I wonder if you can get arrested for saying all politicians are paedophiles.
Oh, fuck off. We haven't gone that far down that road yet, I hope. There's still such thing as freedom of speech.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, no, not in the UK.
We talked about it last week. They were arresting people for what they thought they might do rather than what they thought they have done.
Yeah, but we're not in the UK, are we? So we should be fairly safe. Besides which, I mean, there's no proof I ever said it. Only the internet.
Exactly. So, all right. So you got the Edward Heath thing. That's a bit weak. I mean, what would be more interesting if he'd predicted Jimmy Savile or something like that?
Well,
did he predict Jimmy Savile?
I think it's fair to say that everyone at the BBC is also a paedophile.
Well, so no, I mean, that's not revelation, I wouldn't say. The AI thing's not revelation.
Okay, how about the prediction of the economic meltdown in the 1990s when he said that financial manipulation would spark a catastrophic financial downturn, which is exactly what happened. And while most
the banking
people,
crisis in Sweden in the 90s, is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about the crash of 1998, wasn't it?
Not the Big Bang, what do you call
Monday.
It?
Black Monday.
Yeah, Black Monday. Oh, 87.
87.
Or was that the Great Storm?
Oh, that was the Great Storm, for God's
sake.
Oh,
it was
sake.
The same
it was,
year?
It was, no. Was it?
The Great Storm... That was the same year as the
that was a wasted
Black
opportunity.
Friday.
That was a wasted opportunity for me. I was in a flat in Camden Town that night when the hurricane hit, and the branch of a tree came through the window of our living room.
Did it?
Yeah. And the lights were off all over London, and I didn't have the presence of mind to think, For fuck's sake, go looting down the West End.
That's pretty stupid.
You would have had a field day.
Norman Lamont.
What's he got to do with looting?
Well, he was the one that had to raise interest rates 4 times in the space of a week to try and defend the pound.
Oh, but they're doing that now, aren't they? Now, while most people won't agree with Ike that the crash was masterminded by a secretive elite to impose a new global banking system, his prediction was very accurate nonetheless. And ominously, Ike is now predicting an even bigger crash.
When?
You'll have to read everything you need to know but have never been told to find out.
Right.
It's published by David Ike Books and it's priced at $14.99.
$14.99, is that the hard copy version or the paperback?
That's the pamphlet. You can find it at www.davidike.com.
So you mean you can't even buy it on Amazon?
I'm not sure if he's persona non grata at Amazon or not, because, you know.
He did something. They did something. All right, so we've got another financial crash coming. That's not good. Quite understandable, bearing in mind the Muppets that run most of the big economies.
Yeah. Now, you know that he was also a member of the Green Party at one time. He resigned.
Probably not for long.
He resigned from the Green Party in 1991.
As a result of?
Well, as a result of the Wogan interview, basically. After resigning from the Green Party, he actually held a press conference to announce himself as the son of the Godhead. And he claimed at that time that the world was going to end in 1997 after a series.
Yeah, he didn't get that one right, did he?
Thankfully, otherwise our podcast would be dead in the water, literally.
As I'm saying, it would be more interesting to look at the thousands of other predictions that haven't come true.
Well, he claimed that a series of devastating hurricanes and natural disasters in the Gulf of Mexico, New Orleans, Cuba, China, Derry, for some reason, and the Isle of Arran.
And he got the New Orleans one right.
And citing voices from the spirit world, he said that Los Angeles would become an island, New Zealand would disappear, and Kent would be underwater within months.
And they proved to be not true.
Fairly accurate. Now, he has sold thousands of books claiming that humanity is actually under the control of dinosaur-like alien reptiles who must consume human blood to maintain their human appearance.
Finally, we're getting round to it. The Queen was an alien. It was a reptile.
And I will tell you more after this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
David Ike, his latest book, available now from davidike.com.
I don't think we want to be promoting his books.
Come on, he's the son of God. You've got to keep your hand.
No, he's the son of the Godhead, apparently.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So he believes that we're under the control of these dinosaur-like alien reptiles who consume human blood to maintain their human appearance. And he believes that the royal family are actually 12-foot-long, green, extraterrestrial, shape-shifting lizards.
And how do they fit them into the 5-foot-5 body of the Queen?
Shape-shifting. That's what shape-shifting literally is. Ike claims to have taped an interview with Christine Fitzgerald, a confidant of Princess Diana's, saying Diana had told her that royals don't die, but are metamorphosed by rebuilding flesh, much in the same manner that a lizard can regrow a tail. She went on to explain that the Queen Mother is Chief Toad.
Oh, God.
I can concede
that that's a bit far-fetched.
No, I can see Prince Andrew catching flies with his tongue. I can, with that face. You can see he's part lizard. Look at him. He's a fucking lizard.
Do his eyelashes go sideways as opposed to up and down?
His eyeballs can definitely move in two directions at once and not necessarily the same direction.
I mean, that's... How did David Ike think up this, that the royal... Who else is involved, by the way? This master lizard race...
Well,
the royal family doesn't have any sway. If they were all powerful, you know, alien reptiles, why aren't they in charge?
You know that the royal family are actually very powerful in the big scheme of things.
In what way?
The Queen was the world's richest woman.
She what? That's just nonsense.
It's not.
It really is not. That's only if you include all the Crown estates, which is actually owned by the Crown, not the Queen.
So you think she was, like, scrimping? You think she had a meter installed to pay her electric?
I'm not saying she's poor. I'm just saying it's absurd to say she's the world's richest woman. Otherwise, just look at her will. She doesn't need to leave her stuff that's crown property to anybody because it just goes on to the king.
Whatever your beliefs.
They're not beliefs, it's fact. It's not an opinion.
Now, you might want to know where these lizard people came from.
Yes, I am interested to know that. I know somebody who thinks the Queen was a lizard. I actually know them.
Yeah, of course. You talk to them once a week on the podcast. Well, the lizards are said to have come initially from the 12th planet in our solar system.
Is there one?
There is an invisible planet called Nibiru.
Nibiru.
Or Planet X.
Nibiru or Planet X. Bollocks.
Now, tabloids and sci-fi novelists have propagated theories about Nibiru for decades. But the fact is, humankind is much more likely to obliterate itself through nuclear war than to get pummeled by a giant mythical planet that's never actually been seen. But that hasn't stopped authors, bloggers, and Hollywood directors from putting their own spin on the doomsday prophecy. And here's everything you need to know about Nibiru. It was first introduced by Russian-American author Zechariah Sitchin.
I think that's probably Zachariah,
no,
but
it's,
you know.
Zechariah.
Right.
Now, Sitchin gleaned references to a planet called Nibiru from ancient Sumerian writings. And in his 1976 book, The 12th Planet, Sitchin wrote that Nibiru supposedly orbits the sun every 3,600 years. And because of its wide-angled orbit, every 3,600 years, it comes very, very close to the Earth. And that's when it is imagined that the lizards hopped over to Earth.
So how long does it take for the Earth to orbit around the sun? A
365 year? Days.
And this is, so not 365 days, but 3,600 years?
Yes. Now, Sitchin said that these extraterrestrial beings, known as ancient astronauts, visited Earth and contacted humans hundreds of thousands of years ago, radically reorienting the trajectory of human progress. And these aliens allegedly influenced Earth's culture, religious practices, and technological advancements. Unsurprisingly, scientists and Mark have dismissed Sitchin's findings as pseudoscience and nonsense.
Thank you. See, most people agree with me.
Now, Nancy Leider, a self-described alien contactee, so an expert, and Wisconsin native, claimed that a group of extraterrestrials from the Zeta Reticuli star system abducted her as a child and planted a communication device in her brain. She founded the website Zeta Talk in 1995 to share information as a conduit of the Zetas, warning of Earth's impending collision with Nibiru, which she also called Planet X.
When is Nibiru next due to come close?
Leider, or the Zetas, pegged the collision date. Well, let's talk about the collision itself first. The power of this collision, Leider claimed, would stop the Earth's rotation for precisely 5.9 days and radically shift its poles, resulting in the disruption of its magnetic core and displacement of its crust. On her website, Leider warned that people would try to downplay or cover up the impending collision. The elite, those in power who know about this in the US, Russia, Japan, Australia and Britain, wish to keep the common man in doubt as long as possible. Thus, the common man will go to his job, pay his bills, respect the police, fear the court system and stay predictable. Should an announcement by the government that a pole shift of this magnitude that's been described likely occur, quite a different scenario would ensue, as you can imagine.
Yes, the water would go down the plug hole the other way.
The collision date, pegged by Leider, was May the 15th, 2003.
No, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, when May the 15th, 2003 arrived and the Earth showed no signs of being obliterated, Leider revised her prophecy accordingly. She claimed her original collision date was a white lie from the Zetas to see how humans would react to their impending doom. Oh, no, that's feasible. Now, disappointed in their lack of preparation for the end times, the Zetas declined to give a new collision date. But here's the kicker. All of this was after Lieber made a radio show appearance and told listeners to euthanize their pets before Nibiru destroyed Earth.
Nice. I want a photo of one of these Zetas. What do they see? What's their natural state?
Oh, lizard.
Yeah, but there's loads of lizards, aren't there? Are they the ones with big eyes and big feet that you see on the ceiling in the south of France occasionally?
Well, no, I would imagine that they would be bipeds rather than quadrupeds. Because you couldn't take a quadruped seriously, could you? You'd keep looking at it as though it had some potatoes and peas on the side.
How many biped reptiles are in existence today?
Well, you've got a lot of lizards that can actually run on two legs.
I know, but they're not bipeds, are they? They're just balancing acts. They come from the circus.
Bipedal. Nibiru collision date was revised to 2012, which coincided with the Mayan long count calendar.
Ah, yes, I remember that one.
Also predicted the end of the world.
And did it happen? I can't remember.
It synced neatly with the 5,126-year cycle of the Mayan long count calendar. And it also inspired a pretty cheesy blockbuster film starring John Cusack, if I remember correctly. That had very little to do with rogue planets or aliens.
What was that?
2012.
No, but what was the movie called?
2012.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So, sorry, what's this got to do with David Icke, all this nonsense about? Is this his alien race, Zetas?
It's the lizard people.
Oh, right. So I'm interested, okay, the royal family, does that mean all royal families are lizards?
Well, we're not talking about all royal families, we're talking about David Icke.
No, but he's the one that's claiming that the Queen was a lizard, the Queen Mother was a lizard, Prince Charles is obviously a lizard.
I mean, you can see that as well. He looks like a fucking sour-faced lizard.
He certainly looks sour-faced, that's for sure.
Although I'm a bit surprised that he actually married a horse.
Oh, God. She looked pretty bloody miserable as well.
But still on Nibiru, while some conspiracists simply believe that the government is involved in covering up the Nibiru's existence, others believe it could be hiding behind the sun. Before you nonsense me off, it would be impossible to cover up such a huge planet as it approached Earth. Many believers claim to have taken pictures of Nibiru, but more often than not, these images are just lens flares. This is from Christian numerologist David Mead.
Oh, yes. He's a reputable scientist, that Christian numerologist. Yeah.
He predicted that Nibiru would actually collide with Earth on September 23, 2017.
And, sorry, remind me, did it happen?
Now, he says, and this is where you have to believe him,
yeah,
the existence of Planet X is beyond any reasonable doubt, to a moral certainty. He wrote in his new book, Planet X, the 2017 arrival.
Well, he wouldn't be saying anything else, bearing in mind he's just trying to sell a book called Planet X.
And sell it quick, too, because you've only got a little while to read it. He also told UK tabloid The Daily Star.
Oh, that quality publication. they got the letters right, though, didn't they?
That the Great American Eclipse on August 21st, 2017 is a major or a huge harbinger. And he used numerous Bible verses to support his theory, which I'm not going to read out because my mouth will catch fire and my tongue will fork. Evangelical Christian publication Unsealed also claimed that September 23rd, 2017 aligned with the coming of the rapture. Unsealed argued that the Book of Revelations predicted the alignment of several planets, the Sun, the Moon, and the constellations Virgo and Leo. And while this alignment did actually happen, it didn't quite align with the end of the world. And it happened for a reason.
Yeah, because it's planetary. Everything happens for a reason. It's when they're in orbit.
In the days leading up to September 23rd, the site called for Christian readers to stay awake and alert while awaiting the next coming of the rapture, or the moment when Christians believe Jesus will return to earth and take devout believers to join him in heaven. Open your eyes while there is still time, says the final line of the Unsealed homepage. In the days following September 23rd, which showed no signs of a fiery apocalypse or the second coming of Christ, the site published a series of new predictions for 2017, claiming that there's no way of exactly predicting the rapture, but I'm pretty sure it's still penned in for this year.
What, 23?
No, 2017.
Oh, I see. So, all right.
Here is the strongest argument.
The strongest? Well, there's not much competition, is there?
Mead regularly cites a numerical coincidence, which he calls the 33 convergence, to further prove his theory. And it consists of several main points that emphasise the significance of the number 33. Right, the great American eclipse will cause the sunrise to be dark, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy on August 21st, 33 days before Nibiru's predicted collision with Earth. The black moon that will ensue from the eclipse only occurs once every 33 months. And Elim, one of the names for God in the Hebrew Bible, appears 33 times throughout the book of Genesis. The eclipse will start in Oregon, the 33rd state, and it will end on the 33rd degree of Charleston, South Carolina. But the most devastatingly obvious and brilliant clue comes with this last one. The last solar eclipse of this magnitude occurred in 1918, 99 years ago, or 33 times 3.
Shut up. Oh, yeah, it's just... These poor people. Who was this woman who wrote this book?
Oh, I've gone way past that.
Oh, have you? So Ike is one of these, all right. So, sorry, that we've got to wait another 3,600 years, bearing in mind that Nibiru didn't actually collide with us. It obviously went close by, and now it's heading away from us.
Yeah. Now, let's get back to David Icke. Before he actually disappeared off mainstream TV, and let me tell you, they're forever trying to silence him. He's had his YouTube channels, I wouldn't say wiped out or banned, but certainly they've cut down a lot of his content, which I find a bit offensive, to be honest.
But I do as well, probably, if he's not inciting violence.
I don't see that it's up to them to be everybody's censor. But before he was actually binned from mainstream television, he went on to have an interview with...
Oprah Winfrey.
Andrew Neil, and they had a bit of an eyebrow-raising clash. He claimed that David Cameron was misleading the public about Brexit, and that Tony Blair had lied about WMDs in Iraq, adding that these very same people gave us the official story of 9/11. Asked if 9/11 was a conspiracy, he added, of course it was. There's a network that works through government agencies, through organisations like the CIA, to push an agenda on the world which is unfolding by the day.
I'm speechless. Oh, God.
So, yeah, today David Icke is limited to publishing his own books, getting what he can on his YouTube channel, and touring the world very successfully, giving talks in sold-out venues for 9 hours to a growing army of believers. And, I mean, he's responsible for many, many more conspiracy theories. He will basically take up any cause, and he will shape it to his own agenda. Although much of his stuff might be construed as nonsense, I think...
Might be construed as nonsense, really?
You've got to take some of his stuff seriously because, as you Why? Say, a stopped clock is right twice a day, and he has been right on more than one occasion.
Mm.
And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of our 100th episode.
That was, I am literally speechless. It's quite incredible. What is strange about the whole thing is that someone like David Icke, who's obviously a bit of a sandwich short of a picnic, ganders such a following.
Well, we've got Why? Listeners.
Yeah, but we're not promoting alien reptilian activity. We're just commenting on strange things that go on in our world, as it were.
But I mean, it's just a form of entertainment for some people, I guess. I mean, listen, I loved Donald Trump as president because you could actually read the papers and have a smile on your face in the morning.
Oh,
now all. Where's the entertainment value now? It's gone.
Yeah, but US presidents, as the UK presidents, they're not supposed to be a source of entertainment. They're supposed to be a source of stability and leadership.
I'm sure a lot of his, I don't want to say followers because it's not a cult. A lot of people who listen to David Icke probably don't believe 99% of what he says. They just find it entertaining.
Oh, maybe. You might be right.
I mean, I'm a believer, obviously.
He is 71, 72. So he's still got another 10 good years left in him.
Well, unless he drinks human baby blood, in which case he's got another 150.
Oh, maybe.
Like the royal family.
If he doesn't end up in the nick.
You can't get arrested for talking nonsense. Otherwise, we'd have been in prison years ago.
You can if you live in England these days, apparently.
Yeah,
yes, apparently so. I'm deeply offended by people talking nonsense, which is a little bit contradictory, bearing in mind I appear on this podcast. But yeah, you literally can be arrested for talking nonsense because it offends people.
Well, you can be arrested for anything now, speech-wise, whether it offends people or not. It just has to be perceived to offend someone.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that was David Icke, and that was our 100th episode. I hope
Have you been saving
it.
That one up?
No, in fact, I was at a bit of a loss as to what to present us with for our 100th episode, because I wanted it to be, how can I say, ridiculous without the word, using the word ridiculous.
Word ridiculous, yeah, well, you succeeded there.
I wanted it to be entertaining and a bit of nonsense and a bit of facts, and I was struggling, and one of the lads at work mentioned Nibiru, and with the connection between Nibiru and the lizard people and David Icke, I came up with David Icke.
Good.
So it was half suggested by Robin, thank you.
And thanks,
the other
Robin.
Half was suggested by me.
Excellent. Well done, Andy, as well. Good. Well done. 100 episodes under the wraps, or whatever you call it. Under wraps. No.
No, under wraps means something completely different. Ask the
What is it when you finish a film?
Ask the people in my basement. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. That's a wrap. It's a wrap. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. And thanks for listening to the previous 99. If you haven't, please go back and do so. Help bring our numbers up. Don't forget, we have a website, strangestuffpodcast.com, where you can follow us on all our socials. Leave us a like, a follow, some cash. something that's occurred to me, actually, when we do get communications from our listeners, I've noticed that it's always fellas. I wonder if we've got any female listeners sometimes.
I'd be amazed if we do, bearing in mind what they have to endure listening to you.
Because, I mean, I was figuring I might as well use this platform as a bit of a dating site as well.
Dating site? You poor sad individual. If you think that describing women as slags is going to get you. Oh, God.
So if any of you slags out there.
God, dear. We do really need to make a blanket apology for what comes out of your mouth.
I'm pretty certain everybody knows that what's said here is always said in jest and with the best of intentions.
That's what I would like to think. I'm not convinced myself, though.
In the meantime, have yourselves a strange week and please join us for episode 101 next time, and hopefully all the way up to episode 200. Have yourselves a strange week. And if anyone asks you if you've ever been to Nibiru, look shifty, change into a lizard, and bite their fucking head off.